Tobacco, the pastor here at Rogers Assembly, and I just want to thank you for joining our audio podcast today. I hope that this message makes you feel connected, that it allows you to grow in your faith, and it helps you understand that God is moving in your life. Enjoy the message.
When the Andrea Gale left Gloucester Harbor in Massachusetts on September 20th, 1991, and it headed into the North Atlantic, no one could have ever known that the little fishing boat would never ever be seen again. Only a little bit of debris over the years would ever turn up, and the six crew members would vanish into eternity. In the book, The Perfect Storm, author Sebastian Junger immortalizes the fate of the Andrea Gale, and a film followed featuring Mark Wahlberg and George Clooney. And as big as these stars were, they only played supporting roles next to the real star. The film was about the storm itself. A terrifying, relentless oppressor that was born in fierce winds and mountainous waves. One meteorologist even called this the perfect storm. It's just another way of saying it was worst case scenario. In the case of the Andrea Gale, it was the simultaneous convergence of the toughest weather conditions possible. Three deadly elements converged together in October of 1991. There was a front that was building over Canada's east coast. There was a front moving from Canada towards New England. And then there was also a dying remnant of Hurricane Grace that was all churning together on the eastern seaboard of the United States. So this perfect storm was created by strong weather conditions that were coming from three points out of the four on the compass. All of it converging on the little Andrea Gale. And so with the last radio transmission by Captain Billy Tyne on that little fishing boat, 6 p.m. on October 20th, 1991, he reported, "She's coming on, boys, and she's coming on strong." That's the way storms oftentimes hit us in life. Multiple storms converge upon us. And sometimes we just have to say, "She's coming on, boys, and she's coming on strong." I wonder, have you ever said that about the problems that you face? Maybe the attacks that you feel like you're under? Maybe the problems that have surfaced in your life? That life is just coming on, and she's coming on strong? Maybe it's been a financial storm that has been brewing in your life. Maybe a sickness has caused you to lose work, and so your income is a little bit less than normal, and you choose to put food on the table instead of make that car payment or that house payment. And so now your creditors are calling and it's just building up and the pressure is building up and you're expecting to get this tax refund to help bail you out and to maybe give you a little bit of a cushion. But instead of getting a refund this year, you owe this year only to put you further. And it's like this storm of pressure that's all converging. What about parenting? We know parenting creates storms. What about those times when our kids miss curfew and they come back late and so we're dealing with them and we're setting disciplinary standards in place only to find out that they lied to us and they told us they were somewhere where they weren't supposed to be. And then maybe in the mail we get a report card and that report card is less than stellar. It's less than our standards of what we know our child can do. And it's all of these little things that are adding up and they're piling up that are creating a perfect storm. What about this perfect storm of just middle age of where we're trying to raise kids on one hand, but yet we're also trying to care for our parents that are growing elderly, and we're being sandwiched in the middle there. Maybe it's a little bit of all of these. Maybe it's a little financial. Maybe it's a little bit of health. Maybe it's a little bit of our marriage. Maybe it's a little bit of our workplace. Maybe it's a little bit about a fight we had with our neighbors. Whatever it is, all of these little things converge in our lives to create a perfect storm. And that is the way that the enemy wants to attack us in our lives. He wants to take us out, not with this little storm here or this little storm here, but he's wishing to converge these little storms into our lives. I highly doubt that most of us will lose our faith, will quit going to church, stop hanging around other Christians because of a little storm that comes our way. However, when multiple storms hit us again and again and again over a period of time, it has the potential to destroy even the best of us. So how do we combat these perfect storms? How do we combat the storm systems that converge in our lives? Today I want to look at Psalms 46 because it gives us on advice on how we can combat the perfect storm. An author in Psalms 46, he starts writing and he starts out with a theme verse, a very powerful verse to set the tone for the entire chapter. And he says, God is our refuge and he is our strength. He is our ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. That's encouraging to know that God is our refuge and our strength, that he's ever present. He's always with us. And because of that, we will not fear. And he goes on and he writes in the middle of two and he introduces a perfect storm scenario. He says, we will not fear because one, though the earth give way, that's a pretty big storm. Two, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Three, though its waters roar and foam. And four, the mountains quake with their surging. If you're asking me, those four things can converge and create a perfect storm. And the psalmist says, we will not fear in the middle of it because God is our refuge and ever-present help in times of trouble. If you skip ahead just a little bit, he gives us the plan. He gives us the strategy of how to go through the perfect storms in our life. And he says this in verse 10. He says, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I'll be exalted to the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. I want to talk to you today about being still and knowing that he is God. Being still, it seems so impossible to do. We've had the privilege of having our children with us in our adult services over this past month as we have moved kind of into a relaunching phase due to this COVID. And we are excited because our children's church is relaunching today. Our kids are actually participating downstairs. And we're so excited. But maybe this past month has been a little challenging keeping our kids still in adult service. I would venture to say that some of us out there as parents have yelled or screamed or maybe even said real silently because it's church, be still, be still, be still. Quit fidgeting, quit moving around. And sometimes it seems like our kids, that's an impossible thing to ask of them. They're everywhere except where they should be. They're under the pew. They're over the pew. They're beside the pew. They're anywhere but in the pew. So we ask our kids, be still. Calm down. On top of all that, Pastor Ken gives them a bag of candy, which appeases them for 5 minutes, but puts them on a sugar rush for the next hour. I want you to know the same is true for us as adults. We oftentimes have a hard time staying still in the midst of the storm. See, it's uncomfortable to be still in the midst of adversity. It's uncomfortable to be still when things are converging around us because we feel like we're not in control. We feel like we're not working to a resolution. We feel like we're useless. We feel like we're vulnerable. But yet, the psalmist encourages us to be still. Be still. The Hebrew word that is used here means to cease striving. To stop moving forward. Stop moving at all. In fact, there's a metaphor that goes with it, and it means to actually put your hands down by your side. To just be still in that moment. See, God has a plan for us in the middle of the storm, and it's to put our hands down and stop striving. Be still. And then it comes with a focal point. And know that I am God. And that's the key of it. It's about learning and knowing who God is in the middle of the storm. So how do we do that? How do we be still in the middle of the storm? Maybe the key to being still is focusing on what we know about God. So today I want to talk to you about five facts that help us remain still in the middle of the storm. And the first fact that I want us to know about God is that God will be exalted among the nations. It comes from the second half of verse 10 here in Psalms 46. He says, I will be exalted among the nations, and I'll be exalted in the earth. See, this was an interesting statement that God is making because at that time, most of the nations that were on this earth worshipped multiple gods. They had gods of thunder, gods of light, gods of sun, gods of the sea, gods of plant and vegetation, gods of love, gods of war, gods of peace. And they worshipped all of these different gods. And Israel was the only nation on the face of the earth that was monotheistic or that served one God. And God was making a statement saying, I am going to be exalted among all of the other nations. I am going to be put up against all of the other gods, and they're going to be calling out to their gods, and you're going to be calling out to me, and I will rise up against the other gods victorious. I will be exalted. I'll be exalted in all the nations. I'll be exalted in all the earth. I will raise victorious amongst all my competitors. And this is encouraging to us to know that yes, in the middle of the storm, yet though it converges on our lives, yet it's fierce, yet it rages and it wears and it beats us down. That in the middle of all of that, God will be exalted. God will be exalted in your life. God will be exalted in your problems. God will be exalted in your storms. And while the rest of the world calls out, like we learned last week, we looked at Jonah, and when the storm hit, everyone was calling out to their own God, trying everything. It was the God of Israel that was exalted. It's the God of Israel that rose to the forefront. And it's the same God that we serve today that will be exalted amongst all the other little G-O-D-S. The storm is only an opportunity for God to reveal His power, His authority, His strength. God says, I will prove myself in the middle of your storm. That even though it's converging, even though it's hitting hard, even though it seems helpless, I once again will be exalted in the middle of the problems, and I will prove myself faithful. I'll prove myself redeeming. I'll prove myself loving. And maybe the most important, I will prove myself saving. I, as the Lauren Daigle song says, I will rescue you. You see, God's reputation rides on the back of your problems. God's reputation rides on the back of your storms that are converging in your life. That when you call out to God and you're faithful and you pray for God, God will show up and prove Himself faithful one more time. The second fact that I want you to know today in the midst of the storm is that God has a purpose. God has a purpose for the storm. God has a purpose for what you're going through. And I know when storms converge in our lives and they're hitting us from multiple directions and we're worn out and we're tired and we don't feel like we can go on, we don't feel like God has a plan and we can't always see God's plan. Job was a man that oftentimes felt like that. Job, many of you guys recall the story in the Old Testament. Job was one of those guys who was minding his own business. He was doing right. He was living right. God was blessing for them. And there was this conversation between God and Satan and some heavenly realm or cataclysmic realm where they have this conversation. And God offers up Job and says, hey, have you considered my man Job? He is faithful. He is righteous. He is trustworthy. And Satan says, you know what? The only reason why Job does this is because Job is sailing in smooth waters. There are no storms in his life. He is living under your blessing. So let's take some of that away and see if he still serves you. See if he still serves you in the middle of storms converging. See if he still serves you in the perfect storm. You and I have a choice just like Job. When the storms converge, are we going to serve the Lord? Are we going to worship the Lord just like Job did? Or are we only good during peacetime? Are we only good in blessing? Are we only good when things are going good? We're all like Peter, I think. We're all like Peter that says, Lord, I'm never going to deny you. I'm never going to fail you. I'm going to be by your side till the end. But it's easier said than it is done. And when the storms converge in our lives, they have a way of ripping us apart from the inside out. They have a way of ripping our faith apart. They have a way of destroying our joy, of destroying our morale. And we experience the storms of life in different ways. And Job's wife cries out in despair and she encourages Job, curse God and die. But Job will not give up. Job will not relent. He is faithful in his pursuit of God. He is righteous in his actions. And he pens this in Job 13:15. He says, yet even if he slays me, I will still worship him. See, there is a purpose that happens in the midst of our pain, in the midst of our trials, in the midst of our sufferings. And it may not feel like it, but God has a purpose in your storm. And that's for him to show up and be glorified in it and to be glorified through it. God has a plan to use your storm to give him maximum glory. Thirdly, this morning, the third fact that I want to talk about and I want to know about, I want you to know about God, also comes from the life of Job. And that's that God stands as a single guardian of our life. These storms that we've been talking about, even though we think they're demonic, we think they're all from the enemy, we feel like every storm is here to destroy us or to get us off track. Sometimes those storms are actually brought on or permitted by God himself. We looked at Acts chapter 29, the storm that brought Paul to the island of Malta. It detoured him, a shipwreck. He was headed towards Rome. But God says, I have a pit stop for you. I have business for you to take care of on the island of Malta before you even get to Rome. Mark chapter 6. Jesus actually sends his disciples into the storm. And he says, I'm sending you into the storm because once again, I'm going to prove myself faithful. I'm going to prove myself that I have power over the storm. I will meet you at your weakest need. You just need to have staying power and you just need to stay the course. We looked last week at Jonah, how Jonah was running from God. He was running towards a life of pleasure than a life of purpose. And how God sent a storm not to destroy Jonah, not to destroy the others, but to redirect him and to get him back on track and back to the place that he's supposed to be. See, the Apostle Paul knows this. He writes this in 1 Corinthians 10:13. He says, "He will not give you more than you can bear." See, the Lord is our guardian. He knows our threshold. He won't allow us to get to those breaking points without Him. God guards the gates of your life. Fourthly, comes from Romans 8:28. Paul writes this, he says, "God works all things together for the good of those who love Him." All things, all things, all things. God works the good seasons in our life, and God works the bad seasons in our life. He causes all things to work together for the good of those who love Him. There was a perfect storm that was created a little over 2,000 years ago when the Son of Man, the Son of God, came into this world. And there was a perfect storm that was brewing on Golgotha when the Pharisees were conspiring and the Romans were raging and the disciples were fleeing and the cross was that bore our Savior was probably the very worst moment in human history when we should have been opening our arms and receiving God as King. We killed Him instead. He was innocent in every way, yet we killed Him. The worst moment, the perfect storm of the cross, God used all things. He used it. He flipped it to be the greatest victory in our lives. The greatest shameful act in humankind is now our greatest victory. He has defeated death and He's defeated hell. And if God can take the single most worst moment in human history and can flip that and turn it around and cause it for good, then God can take the storms that converge in your life and God can flip them and turn them into blessing. Fifthly and lastly, God doesn't want your problems, your storms in life, to make you bitter. God wants to make you better. Listen to the words of James chapter 1 verse 2. "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, that whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith, it produces perseverance, and let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." Will the storms hit us? Yes, they will hit us. Will the perfect storms converge in our lives and try to destroy us? Yes, they will. But will they destroy us? Absolutely not. We can have confidence in the middle of the struggle because we know what God is all about. We know what God can do for us. And as we close this morning, the key to all of this, Psalms 46:10. "Be still and know that I am God." Be still in the middle of the storm. Be still when storms converge. You know, Psalms is a collection of lyrics that were penned, and they're songs, and it's music that's written in there. But all of those songs were inspired by actual moments. And many scholars believe that Psalms 46 was written against the backdrop, the historical context of 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, we see a perfect storm that's brewing. King Jehoshaphat is reigning over a couple of the tribes of Israel there, and this is happening during his reign, and there is a battle that is about ready to get fought. And this is what it says in verse 1 of chapter 20, 2 Chronicles. After this, the Moabites, that's one, and the Amorites, that's two, with some of the Midianites, that's three, came to wage war against Jehoshaphat. Not one army, not two armies, but three armies. We're going to get hit by multiple things all at the same time. They're going to come from this direction and that direction. And the people were worried, and they come to Jehoshaphat in verse 2, and they cry out and they say, a vast army is coming against you, and they're coming from Edom. And Jehoshaphat, regardless of what he planned, regardless of his 10-year plan, regardless of where he wished he was at in that moment, finds himself trapped in a perfect storm. God, my enemies have converged together to destroy me. And in that moment, Jehoshaphat felt powerless, and he felt helpless. It says this in verse 12, for we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us, and we do not know what to do. And maybe you're here today, maybe you're listening to this, and you're facing a storm of your own. You're facing a storm that's converged in your life, and you're being hit from multiple angles, and you're just tired of fighting. You're tired of rowing. You're tired of moving forward and not making any headway. And the things of this earth seem like they're overpowering us. And we're at that point where we don't even know the direction to go. We don't even know the right way to go. We feel like we have no power, and we don't know where we're going. If that's you here today, and you hear that, listen to what Jehoshaphat says next. He's crying out to God in verse 12, and he says, for we have no power to face this vast army that's attacking us, and we do not know what to do. But our eyes are on you, Lord. Our eyes are on you. We don't know what to do. We don't have enough strength, but our eyes are on you. But our eyes are on you. And I believe it's in this moment that I could just see being birthed in Jehoshaphat's heart and in the hearts of Israel. This idea that in the middle of the storm, when the storm is raging and we don't know what to do and it's converging all around us, all we need to do is keep our eyes on Jesus, to be still and to know that He is God. And so Jehoshaphat, right before the battle is about ready to happen, the night before, he calls this fast and they pray, and he recounts to all the people how God has been faithful to them in the past, and God will once again be faithful to them in the present. And he moves all of the worshipers to the front, just like they did in Jericho. And the Lord tells them that when you go into battle, you are going to go into battle. You are going to face the perfect storm, worshiping the Lord. And this is how Israel and Jehoshaphat responds. Verse 21, it says, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise Him for the splendor of His holiness, as they went out ahead of the army, and they were singing and saying, give thanks to the Lord, for His love endures forever. And they began to sing a praise unto the Lord. And it says this, the Lord set ambushes. The Lord is the one who set ambushes. get it, church. The Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir and everyone who was invading Judah, and they were defeated. Church, they were defeated because it is the Lord who fights our battles. And I can't think of a better way to go through life's struggles and to go through life's trials and to go through life's storms when everything hits us, that to be still in the middle of it, to worship the Lord and to praise the Lord and to allow God to make himself real, to be like Israel and Jehoshaphat. My eyes are not on the storms. My eyes are on you. Can we spend a moment worshiping the Lord today for how good he is, for his faithfulness, for his love? Lord, I'm going to praise you in this storm. Lord, I'm going to raise a hallelujah in the middle of the storm. Lord, we worship you today.